all her life, Andy Mitchell had eaten, let's say, lustily and mindlessly. Food was her babysitter, her best friend, her confidant, and it proved a refuge from her fractured family. But when she stepped on the scale on her 20th birthday and it registered a shocking 268 pounds, she knew she had to change the way she thought about food, and she had to change the way that she thought about herself, that her life was at stake. In her new book, It Was Me All Along, Andy Mitchell tells a story about much more than a woman who loves food and abhors her body. It is about someone who made changes when her situation seemed too far gone, and how she discovered balance in, let's face it, an off-kilter world. It's a great pleasure to welcome Andy Mitchell to the roundtable this morning. Andy, thank you very much for being with us.
Great. Happy to be here.
Very nice to have you here. At what point along this journey did you think about writing your story and sharing it with others?
It was a few years after I'd lost weight that I realized, you know, I'd been reading stories of other people who'd lost weight, and I felt like I could identify with some of them, but I guess I thought there was something about them that a lot of people were writing about, kind of weight loss in a more of a shiny, happy way than I felt like I would write about it. And I wanted to write about it in a way that was a little bit more truthful and not sadder, but that, you know, that it was still a hard journey to learn how to maintain and to find balance. And so I guess I wanted to write about it from a more vulnerable and honest place that I found it was really still a struggle and that sort of thing. So, and I started writing my blog and then, the book, pretty soon after. So, and it found that it resonated with people. So I guess that kind of spurred me on.
How many years since the weight loss?
It's been 9 years now.
Is it still a struggle?
No, you know, it's been 9 years, and I've found a place where there's no food that I fear, there's no food that I wouldn't eat or that I feel like I'm, you know, out of control with. But I do think that there's a part of me that always, like, anytime I'm uncomfortable, has a moment where I'm like, oh, am I hungry? And it's like, I think it's because I'm almost hardwired to feel like I want to comfort myself with food. But I have to kind of think, oh, okay, you have to deal with your emotions outside of food and that sort of thing. So I think it's like, in an honest way, like I think that every day I commit to like my health and to trying to, you know, be smart about my decisions and that sort of thing. But to realize that like food is just one part of like finding kind of fullness in life, you know? And so, yeah, in an honest way, there are days that are harder than others, but then most of the time I think food is, you know, pretty easy to deal with and navigate these days.
When did you realize that you had that comfort, that you could navigate in a way that was not distressing to you, that was, to use your phrase, less than shiny?
Where I'm comfortable now with food?
Yes.
You mean?
Yes.
Gosh, it took a while. Probably about like 3 years after I lost weight. I think for the first few years after I lost weight, you know, when I first lost weight, it was exciting, but it was also extremely scary because I had no idea how I would ever stay there or, you know, what is this new place? Do I have to live? You know, because I thought that there would be a finish line to weight loss where I would be, like, able to go back and maybe eat the foods that I ate, I don't know, with reckless abandon, and there wasn't, so it was a little bit scary. And now, you know, when I was thin, it was kind of like a fearsome time. And then it took probably a couple of years before I kind of like reintroduced foods and found a balance of like how to eat and how to kind of learn to cope with my emotions and like anything in life like stress or anxiety. and realized that like food was not the number one soothing force in my life, you know? So it did take a while, and it's, you know, that, I guess that's the journey. I guess that is the journey though. You know, I guess that's what, for people that really struggle with food and weight and body image, I guess that's what like lifelong maintenance is. And, so I guess that, yeah, that was, that's the hardest part. So it did take a while.
This has been described to me in a number of different ways, but in reading the book, you certainly get the idea that this is true, and you just alluded to it a moment ago, but this is a very psychological journey, isn't it? I mean, a lot of this, I mean, yes, there is nutrition, yes, there is what you eat, but a lot of this is conquering your mind and the psychology of it.
Right.
And why you were, and why you were, what you were doing and why you were doing it in the first place.
Right. It's just, you know, you don't get to be, you know, morbidly obese, and you don't live like a life where you've never been not the biggest person you know, if you don't, if you're not using food for something that's not hunger and fullness, you know. It's so, I feel like it took me probably until thinness to realize, like, oh, okay, I have to get in touch with this. And that was, I think, what I write about, like, the kind of maybe harsher, sadder parts about, it's not that thinness didn't bring me happiness, it's just that thinness wasn't a solution to why I ate all of those years. And now, being thin, you know, I didn't have a coping mechanism that I had with food. And so there was I think there's a grieving process that I went through that I missed food and that I have to learn to kind of live, you know, like, I don't know, more of a sober life in some sort of like a food addict, I guess, in some way. So yeah, it's such an emotional piece. And that's really hard to grapple with.
Do you believe that people, when you address this, I mean, do you believe that people can be happy at whatever elevated weight they are at?
You know, I think that they can. I mean, I've read articles where people talk about their weight and that they've seen that they can, and I'm not going to be the person that says that they can. And I think that they can be healthy too. I believe in health at every size.
Right.
And having struggled with depression and things like that, I believe, oh God, please just be happy first. But I don't think that I could have. I guess that's my thing. Like, I don't think I can in my right mind. Like, I don't think that I, because I know that so much of my depression expresses itself. Like, my weight is oftentimes a symptom of how I'm doing emotionally. So if I'm carrying a lot of weight, a lot of that is a representation of I'm personally not doing well. I'm using food in some way that's like coping with I'm sad or I'm anxious or something. So I'm not sure that for me that would be true, but maybe for other people that is.
I once overheard, I didn't really overhear it. I was part of the conversation, so I shouldn't say that. But I was part of a conversation with a person who was battling their weight and was undergoing therapy for depression. And there was another psychologist that was in the conversation and was saying, well, you know, it could be worse. It could be alcohol or drugs that you were addicted to. And the person turned to the doctor and said, yes, but then at least I'd be more socially acceptable.
Right.
That really struck me because I initially was shocked, and then I couldn't come up with a reason why she wasn't correct.
Right,
and that has to be, I mean, that's when it gets to the psychology of the thing, that it really does mesh up, doesn't it?
Right. Food is so, I really think about food as an addiction, and like, I feel like I've, you know, my dad was an alcoholic. I see addiction in so many parts of my family. So many people in my family have dealt with addiction. I think, right, I have really addictive tendencies. And I think I've felt a loss of control with food and like and gone on benders where I've lost my life for 3 days at a time and woken up like, what just happened, in ways that I feel like are very akin to what people who go on benders with alcohol or drugs feel, and feel like a ruinous tendency with it. And the thing is, like, it's just, like, you know what people say, like, with food, you still have to deal with food every day. You still have to find a way to navigate it every single day. And that's the hardest thing about it. I mean, it's really hard. And you're fat shamed, and it's a struggle. It's a true struggle. And it's not understood. And I don't know. It's a very hard part of our society.
The title of the book is It Was Me All Along. What do you hope ultimately people will get from your story?
I hope that people, you know, I hope that people find some sort of hope in the story, that, like, you can get in touch with maybe the reasons that you were eating, and maybe that leads you to some sort of, you know, idea about how you've been using food, and that you can change your relationship to food and yourself, and ultimately lose weight if you want to lose weight, and that you can realize that you're not alone in this struggle, that some girl in New York understands what you're going through, and that if that brings you comfort, I really hope that it does, and that you feel a little bit better knowing that you're not alone on this journey.
Well, I love your approach and your inspiration and your honesty. It is, it's really refreshing to read. The name of the book is It Was Me All Along. It is published by Potter. Andy Mitchell, a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Great thrill to have you on the program. Again, Andy Mitchell's memoir is It Was Me All Along, published by Potter. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.